Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. Today we're at the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians National Meeting in Portland, Oregon. And we're fortunate enough to be with Chef Megan Lambert, who's a faculty instructor at Johnson & Wales Culinary School and Department. Megan, thanks very much for joining us here.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
So it's exciting. This convention in particular is exciting, mostly because practitioners who come here are looking for that holistic, healthy for you, whole food solution.
Right.
And so you're giving demonstrations during the course of the day with exactly what they're looking for.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Doing whole food, we're doing smoothies, we're doing some nice little snacks and appetizers, some hummus with veggies, and then a nice little Asian slaw.
Yeah, so. Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about how you became interested in culinary. Culinary, by the way, you know, the way we look at it is so important. It's kind of like the art of bringing food alive.
Right.
And so the reason why we like it so much is that kind of an intersection of taking nutrition, clinical nutrition insights, nutrition practices and habits and menu planning into the art of culinary that makes it all taste good and makes you want to stay healthy.
Exactly.
And do whatever it takes to eat healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say, you know, food isn't healthy until someone actually eats it.
Yeah,
so
right.
It needs to taste good at the same time, right?
Right.
So, no, I mean, it's just something I've always loved. Like, really, since I was a kid, I love to cook. I love to be in the kitchen. Just always wanted to, you know, be around food. So I don't know where that really came from. It's just something that I've always done.
Right.
And so I went to college and I studied nutrition and studied hotel restaurant management. And so just has always been about trying to cook healthy food and make it taste good.
Right.
So
yeah, fantastic. So where did you get your culinary training?
Well, I actually did a pastry certificate at the Culinary Institute of America. I am a registered dietitian, so I studied nutrition. I did my dietetic internship to be a registered dietitian, and I have always loved cooking and have always worked in food service at as a job. But I didn't really do a formal culinary training, but I did go get a pastry certificate on top of all that.
So you must really be a rare professional. So a registered dietitian with culinary training.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be.
There's not many. There's not many of us. There's a few. There's a few. And actually, there's quite a few Johnson & Wales grads as well, because one of our culinary nutrition programs that we have in Rhode Island is accredited by the Association of Nutrition and Dietetics, so they can actually become registered dietitians. And so we have a few notable graduates as well.
We're getting more and more into the world of culinary ourselves. Mm-hmm. This past weekend in Charlotte, we had our own culinary wellness program, which is fantastic. We had a great program that was designed to have leading clinicians talk about nutrition in the morning and the issues related to and causing, in some cases, problems with health. And then all afternoon, all of our participants were in the kitchens learning how to cook, learning
Perfect.
How to select and take food. And then we come to this event, and now there are even more practitioners who want to know what you do and how you do it.
Yeah, I think it is a really important topic these days. I think more and more people are understanding that nutrition makes such a difference in health. And, you know, we've spent a long time going back and forth and, you know, having all kinds of treatment options for diseases, but we're realizing that, you know, you've got to treat the root of the disease, which is generally, for a lot of the diseases we see now, nutrition related,
right.
You know, so what people are eating. And it has, in that time, cooking and making your own food has really become a lost art. So we've lost a couple of generations of people who have not had to cook at home because there have been so many convenient options available. And, you know, the intention of that, I think, was very good, to give people time and the ability to do other things. But, you know, the food itself has not been as nutritious as it needs to be.
Right. So there's a major, I think, trend taking place across America, probably the world for that matter, on getting away from convenient processed foods and making it easier to identify and select healthy food choices.
Right.
But some of the demonstration that you're giving here kind of bring that alive. Like most people would stay away from the use of specialty vegetables, high nutrient dense, high phytoactive, because they don't think it'll taste good. But you put them in smoothies over here. They're like incredible.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that recipe and how you come together with a recipe that tastes great. So.
Well, I mean, and honestly, I think those kinds of vegetables really do taste good. In many cases, those phytochemicals, which give them important nutritional properties, also I think add some flavor and color. You know, we eat with our eyes, that's part of it as well, so making something that looks good is important. But yeah, in this case it was just a really simple smoothie, and we got nice fresh blueberries and strawberries and just did a little bit of that with some oat milk. So using a non-dairy milk that's not a nut based milk, so just because it's good for the widest variety of people at the conference. But also, I think it tastes really good. It's got a nice flavor. Sometimes people don't love the non-dairy milks because of the flavor or the texture involved. But oat milk is a nice option.
So oat milk seems to be kind of the newest entree into the whole kind of milk beverage category. Most of it has been, as you just described, mostly nuts.
Yeah.
But so is oat milk, oat beverage, a new concept?
I don't know how new it is. It is definitely one of many, many non-dairy beverage choices. So some of the not nut ones are oats. I see hemp milk sometimes, and there's a new one that's a pea milk, PEA. So just some of the interesting non-dairy milks that you can get, but.
Is it hard to make, for example, your own oat milk? Do you just take oats and steep it in water overnight or a couple days?
Yeah, and it's the same process as making a nut milk or another type of milk. You can, like you said, just kind of steep it. Doesn't have to be for very long. Some recipes call for just an hour. Pour some water over, steep it for an hour, blend it up, and then strain it.
Yeah.
But you could leave it longer.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite recipe of the ones that you're presenting this week?
Probably the Asian slaw. I love the Asian slaw because I just love those flavors. It's really fresh. It can use lots and lots of different vegetables.
Right.
And that's one that people are often really surprised about because they think, well, raw cabbage or raw beets or something like that. They think it's not going to taste good, but it's really, really tasty. The dressing makes it tasty, and it's super easy to do.
So one of the biggest challenges as a result of processed foods and prepared foods in general is the amount of added sugar.
Yes.
Are you using flavors to overcome, say, the use of sugar?
You don't
necessarily have to use sugar.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. And I didn't put any added sugar in the smoothie. Just, the flavor of the fruit is really good. The oat milk itself is a little bit naturally sweet as well. In the slaw, I do sometimes put just a touch of honey in it. So it's got a real flavorful dressing, lots of garlic and ginger and sesame oil. So it's a great combination, and I just put a little touch of honey to kind of offset that.
Yeah. And one of the challenges that I think Americans have in general is that, we have the recommendation of five servings per day of fruits and five of vegetable. And I think the average number of servings about 30% of Americans use is somewhere well under three.
Yeah.
As a max. So
absolutely.
Any
two of those are potatoes.
Yeah, right. any suggestions on how to help or to help consumers add the truly healthy fruits and vegetables to get closer to five?
Yeah.
In 10 a day total?
Yeah. I mean, I think helping people understand that you can do some really simple preparations and it doesn't have to take a long time and it doesn't have to be expensive is really important. And I think there's some value in pre-preparing some of that. And I'm seeing this a lot more at grocery stores where they have products already, chopped and peeled and all that. So it does save time, but you're still getting a real fresh product.
Right.
Now, those products come with a price tag, though. They tend to be a lot more expensive than just, purchasing a butternut squash versus purchasing a bag of butternut squash cubes that are already prepared.
Right.
So that's a big difference in price. So I think being able to show people how to do that themselves so that they don't have to spend the extra money for the pre-prepared product.
Yeah, definitely pre-prepared, I guess, saves time. To be honest with you, I actually find it maybe even cathartic at the end of a hard day to get in the kitchen, get my knife out, and start chopping.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I hear from so many people who just, you know, they see cooking as a chore. They don't enjoy it. And if, you know, they haven't had good results, then they're less likely to even try. So it's something that, you know, I really try to help people overcome that in terms of, you know, having them understand how to cook. You know, good tools and equipment are also a big part of that, too. A nice sharp knife will help you cut up a vegetable easily, where if you don't have a nice knife, then it's hard. It becomes a chore rather than...
So if you invest in anything, it sounds like you should invest in a really great knife.
A good knife, a sharp knife, and knowing how to sharpen it.
Yeah, and keep your fingers away from
it. It's really important, yeah.
Interesting. You have a favorite cookbook that you'd recommend?
Oh, my gosh.
Look at it? There's a lot of good ones out there. But
there's so many good ones. It would be difficult to choose just one.
Right.
I kind of often refer people to the old standby, The Joy of Cooking. That's a good one. The recipes in there work well, and it's got a lot of classics, and it's a really good education of some of the basics to use.
Great. So what are you teaching this semester at Johnson Wales?
Well, we are starting our culinary nutrition program on this campus. I'll be back in the kitchen teaching students how to, you know, prepare food in healthy ways.
Right.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, great. Chef, thanks for taking the time to join us. Thanks for carrying out these demonstrations. I understand that there's at least one other table where people are trying to make smoothies, but hands down, you're the preferred choice. So congratulations on winning the smoothie battle.
Oh, dear.
A&P this year.
Well, we have gotten lots of positive comments, so I hope everybody enjoys them, and I hope everybody goes home and makes really good smoothies.
Yeah, fantastic. This has been a Holistic Matter podcast, recording live from AANP 2019 annual conference. We've been with Chef Lambert here and learning a lot about culinary. And thanks for joining us. Thanks, Chef.
Thank you.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.